Message, M002, The Revelation of Christ. Given by Cecil J. DuSeal, 1st of November, 1970.
Well, praise the Lord. I think we will go over some of the grounds we have already covered, but it will be by way of revision. And I've never preached one message twice. If it even has the same name, it's going to just go according to how the Spirit leads. And as the Spirit leads, He leads according to the people who are here. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. The Lord will lead according to the people who are here. And if you have questions in your minds, as we go along, the Spirit is going to answer the questions. That's what happens in every meeting, and I'm sure it will happen in this one. As the Spirit brings these things to me, I just pass them on to you. He said that I should speak to you this afternoon on the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Christ. Now, Christ is hidden in the Old Testament. Christ is hidden in the Old Testament. And the New Testament only reveals what the Old Testament says of Christ. Now, the drawings you have at home with Jesus, you should, as good Christians, throw them away. But the new drawing you should have of Jesus is just three circles: the Spirit, the soul, and the body. And that explains Jesus more than anything else. Jesus was a man of the soul, as you are, and Jesus was a man of the Spirit, as you are, and Jesus was a man of the body, as you are. Amen. I'll draw Jesus here with just a little difference from how I would draw you. Now, this is Spirit. This is the Spirit of man filled by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And this is the soul with the mind. And this is the soul with the emotions. And this is a soul with the desires, and this is the will. But the man-child, which would be a little thing in here, in you, is a big thing in here. And he fills the whole soulish realm. So the man-child, which you have in your soul, which is being increased and growing and getting bigger in you, has grown in Jesus Christ and had become fully grown and a matured son. That's when Jesus, Father God, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He was testifying to the fact that Jesus Christ had the mature Christ in him. The fullness of Christ was in him. And this body, we saw this body redeemed. You follow the difference? The body of Jesus Christ was redeemed when he went through death. Amen. So that's the picture of Jesus. And that's the only picture that God is pleased with. When you draw Jesus, you hang that up in your drawing rooms and in your kitchens and all about the places. I see these pictures of a heathen god being hung up. And it's time we stop worshiping Baal and call him Christ. For Jesus said that there would be false Christs and false prophets among us, and they would deceive many. If it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And now that we have come to a point in Christ, let us stop worshiping Ninus, who is the picture that you have there, the son of Semiramis, the first Antichrist. Let's stop worshiping him and let us worship Jesus. And that is his picture, and the only one that God will be pleased about. Praise be to God. Now, would you like me to draw you on to the bottom there? All right. You are spirit, you are soul, you are body. Here you are eagle, here you are lion, here you are. Should I go on? All right. You are eagle in the mind. In the emotions, you are a lion. In your desires, in your will, you are an ox. And let's see now, in your desires, you are a man. No other animal has the desires of a man. And that's a picture that God showed in Revelation and Ezekiel. He saw this beast thing. And in Revelation, the beast was changed. He was changed from an ox to a calf. We thought calves grow into ox, but God made it in the reverse. He changed the stubborn ox nature into a calf. And you become an eagle saint. In your mind begins to soar, but in God. And the lion lie down with the lamb, God says. And the man has been converted to be in the image of God. So this is what we are and what we shall be, the man-child in the center, growing up and bringing a transformation, or what we call a metamorphosis in the soul. We are being born again in the soul, in the spirit. We are perfect. Praise God. For those who filled with the Holy Ghost, those who are not filled with the Holy Ghost, just come after service and get yourself fixed up, because you haven't yet started your Christian life. Beginning of wisdom is to receive the Spirit of God. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you have just begun your spirit life. Before, you were just quickened by the blood of Jesus, that you might receive the Spirit. Now, the impossibility is that a man should receive the blood of Jesus Christ and not receive the Spirit. It is an impossibility in God. It sounds strange for me to be saying all this. And there are some friends you know who are saved so long. Watch them, brothers and sisters. If they are saved, any are called, the very save in them is pushing them towards the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. Whether they agree with you or not, if they really love God, and if they are following God, they are going on to the Holy Ghost. If they are not going on to the Holy Ghost, they are not even saved. Let's go over it. The only reason God sent His Son Jesus Christ to leave His blood here to quicken man is because man's will was like an ox, and it was impossible for a carnal man to want the Holy Ghost. Neither could he receive it if he even wanted it. So then, because we were like the ox in our will, stubborn, God sent the blood of Jesus Christ to quicken the will of man, so that you will desire something more. Now, when the will is quickened, you desire the Holy Ghost and you receive the Spirit of God in your spirit. Then the Spirit plants the seed in the soul. That's the sequence. That's the natural sequence. 1, 2, 3. You can't tell me you will stop. Because there is a pressing, there is a pushing, there is a desire to go forward, to be the next work of grace be done in you. And when a man's soul is filled like the soul of Jesus, he will pick up his body. Redeem it. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. The same Spirit that lift up Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. So, people should be very particular and be very careful that you really receive the Holy Ghost, that you are not playing around with words, that you are not just following a doctrine, that you are not just talking in tongues, that you really have the Spirit of God. For if you don't, you won't be quickened, you won't be delivered, the man-child won't be planted in you, you won't ever redeem your body, and you will sit down there deceived until the day of God's appearing. Now, therefore, this is the picture of Jesus, and this is the picture of the man. Amen. And as we go on, we're going to be using these pictures more and more. We're going to be going into this revelation deeper and deeper. This revelation that is in Ezekiel and in Revelation. In Revelation, the beasts, four beasts, were before the throne of God. And these four beasts represent the soul of man at last conquered. Amen. That was the thing that was giving us the trouble on earth. The mind that wanted to fly away. The desires that were purely man. Amen. And the beast image that was in us. The lion nature and the ox will. Amen. And I show you something else too. When God speaks about the man that was iniquitous, that evil one, that wicked one, amen. This is what has happened. He was six there, he was six here, and he was six there. And that's how we get 666, the number of a man that is completely man and demonic and devilish and all man and no God. Amen. 666. Now, let's go back to the beginning of our lesson here. The first thing I'm going to state here is that Jesus Christ was never revealed on earth. That the revelation of Jesus is just taking place now. That a man named Jesus came here, and he was indeed the first Christ, but he was very careful not to reveal himself to mankind. Hallelujah. He was a hidden personality, and he was a closed book. Amen. And I'm going to prove it from the Word of God. I want you to get alive, brethren, and let us turn our Bibles and look at this thing. I've got here a scripture in Daniel 12 and verse 9. Daniel 12. Did I see a little desk here? Oh. Praise the Lord now. Will do me some good. Amen. Yes, Daniel 12 and verse 9 says, "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." till the time of the end. There was a sealing of God's words, and there was a closing up of God's word. God, in the beginning, he gave Eve a certain word, and he said, your seed is going to bruise the seed of the enemy, is going to bruise his head. And he says there's going to be war between your seed and his seed. And he said he will bruise your heel. God dropped that little information there. And all the prophets coming right down, they got a piece. Each prophet got a little piece. And no prophet could put together the whole thing, because the other man was to get the other part. And we are the only people who have the whole jigsaw puzzle. Amen. We are the only people who got everything, so that we can put it now together and look at it and say, my, look at it. Because if you notice what happened when God gave Ezekiel that vision, the vision was incomplete. And he gave them John the Beloved the rest of it. He gave Daniel the vision in Daniel chapter 2 here, and he gave him again in Daniel chapter 7. But the vision left a lot of things. For instance, God said so and so, and that and was 2,000 years. Just between the and, he made one sentence. And with an and in it, making it a compound sentence. And the one sentence carried 2,000 years between the first clause and the second clause. So they couldn't bring things together. It was impossible. Amen. God came to Mary, and the angel Gabriel said to Mary, you shall have a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall reign and rule. Ooh. That from the time he told her, so she thought right away he was just going to start reigning and ruling. No. And the right between the and there, it's going 2,000 years now, and that and has not come to pass in the fullness that he promised Mary. So you see what I'm trying to say, that this Bible was definitely made by God. Incidentally, let me mention here that I have an article here that proves that the Bible was, it could not possibly have been written by any man because of some numerology upon which it is based, and no human being could do it. And all the professors have tried, and they can't even produce a page like that. So I'm going to put that in the one of these magazines. I think it's the August issue, and you will be getting that information. But the thing I'm dealing with here is just proving how marvelously God wrote the Bible, that he will put things here a little, there a little, 2,000 years after a little. Amen. Yeah. He gave Paul some things, and Paul just let them out like that. And Paul did not see the fullness of these things. And Paul was not permitted to see. As a matter of fact, Paul said that he went into the third heaven and God would not permit him to talk some of the things which he had seen. And some of those things may be common knowledge now. Yes. And so this is what we're saying. We have come now to a point where God had all these things hidden. He told Daniel to seal up the book because it was not for his time. Then we come down to John's Gospel, chapter 14. And let's read down to the 11th verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, he was deliberately, definitely appealing to spiritual people. And he said, everywhere in the Bible you find this, little words dropped, that has the whole balance of the passage to turn around on it like a little axle that holds a big wheel. Here Jesus standing up right before you, and he says that I go to prepare a place for you, and soon the carnal physical mind switch off. Oh boy, somewhere in the heights over there, he's going there to build up some big place, natural physical place. Then he came down and he said that where I am, that where I am, not where I will be, but where I am now, that's where you are going to be. So that gave us an idea of what the place was. Lest we should get carnal and physical and think that spirit's going to inhabit a carnal planet out there. He said that where I am, meaning to say where I am in God. And Jesus is always saying I am. You could make a mighty message on the I ams of the Bible. You go check them out. He hardly said I was or I will be. He's always saying I am. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Always I am. And he was saying here that where I am, the place I at present am. And he was standing in Galilee. Thus, he did not count that as a place. He wasn't counting the physical and the natural and the carnal at all. He was thinking of the place he was standing in God. Amen. That where I am, there ye may be also. Now, and if I go, yeah, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Amen. Now, something here peculiar there. That Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thus he explained right there that the place he was preparing was in the Father. Don't you see? He said, no man cometh to the Father. So he let out the secret right there that the place he was talking about is the Father. Amen. Now, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Yes, verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. In other words, he was telling them that the eternal, almighty, everlasting spirit, named God, that they were looking at him. He was the manifestation of the Spirit of God. That's what he was. He was not the manifestation of the Christ. He was the manifestation of the Spirit of God. In other words, he was the Christ man showing forth God. He was hiding the Christ man, but he was showing forth God. He was advertising God. That's what he was doing. Now, a very peculiar thing happened here. Amen. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, now, it wasn't Jesus speaking. Look at the next few words. He said, have I been so long with thee, long time with you, and ye hast, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Amen. God just broke through him and spoke through his mouth. Have I been so long with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me? And then Jesus is going to explain it to him now. He said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Listen to this one now. To prove to you that what I said was exactly the truth, he said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Meaning to say that it wasn't I who spoke to you a while ago, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he did it. Amen. That's what he was trying to tell. They were pretty dumb, I can assure you, but I believe that this thing was all because they were not saved. They were not yet converted. They were only converted when the blood was shed. But they didn't have that quickening inside. This which I show you here, the blood of Jesus Christ quickening the ox and turning him into a calf. You know the amusing thing the Spirit brought to me the other day? It was that all of you here, you're not growing older, you are growing younger. You are going to be born. Amen. When the Christ comes forth in you, instead of getting older, you will be getting younger. Amen. You'll become ageless, not being able to get older. So it will be dropping off old age, and that's exactly what is happening to us as we go up to the point of God's glory. We are dropping old age and getting younger and younger, and one day we shall break forth into eternal youth. Amen. You remember BC, before Christ? Now it's BC for us. It's decreasing to 0 year. Praise God. And so this is the principle here, you see, that a calf, an ox turned into a calf. The ox will, God revitalizes it, and it becomes a calf standing before the throne of God, bowing down with the 24 elders, was a calf. Amen. So here is it, Jesus is speaking with Philip, having this curse here. He said, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Praise God. Now, there is some more in this chapter here. I think we'd better read a little further on. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the word that I speak, the words, works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He was speaking of the time when the sons of God would arrive and would redeem the whole creation. This is exactly what he said here. But you see, you've got to have eyes of the Spirit to see. What greater works than Jesus could you do? Jesus rose the dead. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus rebuked every devil and every demon on earth. Amen. Jesus spoke the word to some boys who weren't saved. 70 boys who were not saved. And he sent them out to kick devils out of other boys. And they did it. What more power and glory could we show than what Jesus himself did? Yet he did say we're going to do great. Amen. We are, by the same Spirit that was in Jesus, going to redeem the whole creation. You see, God does not recognize flesh. He recognizes the Spirit that is in you. And when God speaks, for instance, about Babylon, Babylon is falling. In Revelation, he speaks of Babylon as a present existing thing. What do you think he was thinking of? He's thinking of the same spirits that motivated Babylon in thousands of years ago, and the same spirits that are today motivating our modern society. He doesn't see England and America and Russia and this and that and the other. He sees Babylon and its church. Amen. We as men divide things and people into classes and this and that and nations. God doesn't see that. God sees Babylon as one thing with all the mess of mud and clay and iron trying to mix together. He sees that as one. And then he sees his body, his people coming up out of the earth. Amen. So let's go on a little more. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. No unsaved man can be filled with the Holy Ghost. If a man speaks in tongues and is not saved, he is not speaking in the Holy Ghost. That is the reason if anybody asks you to pray with him to receive the Holy Ghost, you should first make sure he's saved. For I have seen people pray with other people and they receive the devil, because they had the devil before and they just submitted to the Spirit and he came in and filled them. I've seen it in the church, in the big Pentecostal church. I've seen people there being filled with the Spirit and one was filled with the devil. And some are filled with the devil right in the ear. And so if you don't have discernment in your groups, in your bodies, you will not be able to keep the body delivered and keep out the evil spirits. For to be filled with God, you have got to be saved and clean. And the people who say they are filled with the Holy Ghost and they are living in sin, they are on dangerous ground. On dangerous ground, for the Holy Ghost sanctifies man of sin and convicts the world of sin and of righteousness too, and of judgment. So, if we can well understand it, the Holy Ghost is God. And since he is God, he is there for one purpose, to cleanse the temple. And if a man has the Spirit of God in him and he can resist God and still live in sin, brother, it seems to me that he is stronger than the God that he has in him. But this situation God has set up here is to break through here. And if you see God breaking through, you know what is God. A man who lives in sin and is very happy about it and satisfied and is going on, don't even know the difference between wrong and right, that man could not be filled with the Spirit of God. For his conscience would be beating him. And that conscience would never cease until the conscience overcomes him. For this is the work for which God came into the Spirit. Now, it's true that a man can have the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and still have sins in his soulish realm and in his body realm. Because that is the case with all of us. Amen. That's the case with all of us. And none of you dare to make another man's sin bigger than yours. Because to God, sin is sin. You understand me? So, sometimes we want to look at it and say, well, that man is doing that sin and I'm doing this one. And so I'm better off than he because my sin is a little sin and his sin is a big sin. But the same way God looks on the little sin is the same way he looks on the big one, and he would fight against the little one as much as he would fight against the big one. So if you have a God in you that is declaring war in your soul, that you can have no rest in wrong or in sin, then that means you are really filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you must be getting better and better and better. And while you see the victory coming, while you are winning, don't fear. You will one day be perfect even as God is perfect. Amen. Because you've got perfection in your spirit. This is your insurance. This is your insurance policy. You have received perfection in the Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. And that will cleanse your soulish realm. But don't tell me that you see a man getting worse every day. Worse and worse and worse and worse. The things that I see, the way I see some men are going, they have not even known God. Much more to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But they speak in tongues the loudest. And they leap to the height of the ceiling. And they jump and they shout and bellow like bulls. But they can't live righteously. Beware. For the same Spirit that quickens you, same Spirit that quickens you to jump, to shout, to leap, to prophesy, the same Spirit that sanctifies the soul. Amen. And the cleaner the soul, the more powerful the prophecy and the operation of the Spirit. We are walking in the holy place, and God has carried the church into the Holy of Holies now. For your information. And because the church is in the Holy of Holies, he expects a perfect offering from you. That's the incense offering. And this church is not even that incense offering church. It's the church that is overshadowing the mercy seat church that is overshadowing the body of Christ. To bring forth the man child. So I am saying to you, brethren, that you've got to not be careless with your salvation. Let me go back on it. Some people believe that because we are walking in this realm, we can do anything we want. And some of us live carelessly. Let us not believe that the Spirit of God in you is going to condone wrong. Is not going to condone wrong. He's going to make you know you are wrong. You live on a higher plane. What wasn't wrong for you in down there is now wrong for you. Because sin becomes more sinful. Amen. It's magnified. Good. I don't know if we're kind of warm in here. I see a lot of people closing their eyes. Or maybe the message that is getting a bit warm. Yes, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Let me come back upon this. There are some people who believe that you receive the Holy Ghost when you get saved. When you bow down at the brass altar that sacrificed the first church, the place of repentance, that you receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost cannot come into a sinner. So you couldn't receive the Holy Ghost before you were saved. Let me read the verse over for you again. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Two operations. The Spirit of God, he was speaking to his disciples who were not yet saved. He said, now the Spirit of God is with you. But one day he is going to dwell in you. That's what he was saying. And beloved ones, I want you to really understand this before I go any further. I believe I'm answering a question for somebody here. If you had come from the church like I had, where we believe that you receive the Holy Ghost when you accept Jesus, or you receive the Spirit of Jesus or something else, be it known unto you that you could not receive the Spirit of God before you are saved. The work of the blood, which is the life of God, had to be done within you before any spirit could come in. For God could not come into a flesh that was unsaved. So you had to be saved, and you had to be saved by a work, which is the work of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the quickening life of Almighty God manifested on earth. That blood is here this afternoon. If you didn't receive that work again after a service here, you just come right up and I'll pray with you, and I'm sure you'll get that blood, that quickening. For every man who has the blood of Jesus Christ within him desires the Spirit of God. Yes, I can remember my own case. I didn't know that there was a spirit to receive. For the people who taught me, well, they taught me different. And I just got saved a few weeks. And I just felt so bitter that I couldn't do what Peter and Paul did. That I went to God with a proposition. I said, God, kill me. Said, kill me now and let me go to heaven. Because I said, if the idea is heaven, when a man gets saved, then he should go to heaven. So why have me here? Kill me. I said, you've got a lot of people could do this little preaching around I'm doing. And God injected something in my heart. And I said, oh, I said, God, if you can give me what Peter and Paul had, I will stay. And he said to me, okay. He said, on the 7th of February, boom. That's all I saw, an explosion. He said, on the 14th of February, boom, another explosion. And he said, and he stepped from behind me, brethren, and a blast occurred on my foot, and I think it's the blast that is on me now. Amen. Yeah, it sent me flying. It sent me flying. I could neither carry myself now stop myself. I was just tumbling all over. And I got up out of the vision like that. On the 7th of February, you know what happened? I started to babble in a tongue that I couldn't understand. And I said, my God, it seems as if I'm gone now. I thought something was gone wrong with me. You can imagine being in your room alone, never heard tongues in your life, never thought of it. Never read it in the Bible, or maybe if you had read it, you know, you just pass it off as nothing, but never given it a thought. Then all of a sudden, you are there praying, and you saw a vision of Jesus, and you're walking with Jesus, and then he was talking to you, and he left you, and now you come back to yourself, and you still hear this talking, looking all around the room to find out what is talking, and what then you realize the talking going on down here. You try to listen to what he's saying. You can't hear a word. Then you start getting frightened now. A suggestion comes to me and say, well, open your mouth and pray aloud. So I will say, our Father, and that's what happened to me. This thing came out of my mouth. I said, my God, what's this? So I stopped. And I tried again. I said, let me try to talk again. I determined now to say, our Father. Oh, and that's what came out my mouth again. I just couldn't help it. And alone in this room, and not knowing what to do in this country part, you know, where we were at some experimental station away out in the woods, I began to get real afraid. Brethren, I got so afraid that my knees just started trembling and I couldn't control my nervous system at all. Then, I don't know if tongues frighten you people like that, but it did me. Then, my back was towards the door and I could see anyhow. I was seeing a thing coming through the door. And he was coming through, and brother, he had light, darkness, like a striped suit on, with just light and darkness. And he came there, brother, and I tell you, this poor man just trembled all over. I just couldn't keep myself from trembling anymore. And he came right up to me and began to make suggestions. You know what he wanted me to do? Just accept the power now. He would give me all the gifts. I'd be a great healer. I'd be a great tent revivalist, and I could make good money, and I would be just powerful. That's what the thing was suggesting to me. And when I thought over it, I said, but this couldn't be God, because God wouldn't be offering me all these things. A while ago I was dealing with God, but this thing is something else. I said, no, I don't care if I don't receive anything. And he just disappeared. God came right back. You know, this is, you know why I'm telling you this, brethren? Because some people don't realize that even in their trying to receive the Holy Ghost, they can be receiving another spirit. They can be receiving another spirit. And that is one reason I tell you, instead of being out there where nobody knows about spirit, you're in a Baptist church or in a Presbyterian church or in a Methodist church or somewhere like that, receiving Holy Ghost and talking in tongues, you don't know who is in there that really has the true spirit. Because the enemy will take advantage of ignorance. Yes. He'll take advantage of ignorance. He took Eve in the garden, and Eve was just downright ignorant. She didn't know sin. She didn't know righteousness. She didn't know God. She didn't know the devil. And consequently, she didn't even know herself. And so, she gave away her whole world just by ignorance. And I'm saying to you, brethren, that what we need is the Spirit of God in the body, moving in the body, protecting one another, delivering the people, because where the true Spirit of God is, the spirit of the devil cannot remain.
Amen.
Amen. This is the protection. People talk about out there, they have big, wonderful times out there. I say amen. God is blessing His people, and God is bringing His people out of Babylon. But I don't believe in people who will be speaking in tongues today and saying Hail Mary tomorrow. Yeah, I say I just don't believe in it. It is not of God. You couldn't get the tongues by saying Hail Mary. I heard of one person who was saying, Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us miserable sinners, now they are all dead, amen. Hail Mary, Mother of God, and begin to speak in tongues. I'm afraid of those manifestations because I know what could have happened to me right there on my knees, because the devil was wanting to make even the last attack to see if he could receive. He could overcome. I accepted then Jesus' way. And you know what happened to me? Right as I knelt there, knowing no scripture, no nothing, I saw the Bible being rolled before me like a scroll, just rolling like this. And I began to read 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12. And I read right down, until I reached the part of the tongue. I said, well, praise the Lord, this is it. This must be what's happening to me. And it was just quickening to me. I was so glad that I didn't even see the scroll again. It just disappeared. And I knew then what had happened. And brethren, He did not show me Mark 16. They shall speak with new tongues. And He showed me 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of tongues. I can't make a doctrine out of it, but all I can tell you is what happened to me, and if God will speak to you then. But when we are putting too much weight on tongues, you hear me? Tongues is a natural sign, and God told us in 1 Corinthians 14 that it's not for the believer, it's for the unbeliever. So if we're going to put all our trust upon one sign out of many, watch out, Satan is going to use it. I've seen some churches turn upside down with tongues because the people just want to hear you babble in a tongue, and if you babble like a jackass, they would say amen. That guy is filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, those are strong words, but I'm telling you the truth as it comes to me.
Amen.
Amen. I've seen it. I've lived in it. I've seen a Chinese man was invited to church. He brought his whole family, and he was coming through the door, coming up into the service, and one woman who was supposed to be one of the bright stars in that church, she got up and started to talk in tongues, and she was speaking in Chinese, and that man grabbed his family and hustled them back through the door, rushed out in his car, and home he went. We asked him what happened. He said that woman was speaking the worst profanities that he could ever expect to hear anywhere, and she was cursing him and his family in the Chinese lounge, and he said he had to hustle them out. because it was a disgrace to his wife and children. She don't know what she would say. She been talking that tongue a long time. But God, and up through that, of course, he said that this tongue is not of God. You see, he was wrong still. But the devil knew he could catch both of them at the same time. And that is the position I'm trying to show you here. Now, you've got to be saved, therefore, before you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I am in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that heareth me. And he that heareth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Jesus said unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. You hear what he's promising now? He's promising the Father also. Not only Jesus the Son, but the Father God will come, and we will make our abode in you, with you, he said. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine. Here he's saying the thing over again. I am not speaking to you, he said. It is not I who am speaking to you, it is the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, because being yet present with you, but the Comforter. Now listen to this verse here. This is an important verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall teach you what? All things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, that's the verse I wanted to show you. That Jesus was saying that I am not telling you all things. I am not giving you all things. But when the Spirit of God is come, he will take you into all things. That's the reason we are having the revelations we are having now. Now let's just run through some of these chapters. Let's see John 1 and verse 10. Amen. John 1 verse 10 says, He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, I'm speaking about the revelation of Christ. Christ was not revealed. He came to his own, his own knew him not. He came into the world was made by him, and yet the world did not recognize him. John 4 and 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, then wouldst thou have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He was speaking again to the woman, and he was saying to her, Sister, if you only knew who was standing up here with you, you would jump and ask him to give you water. instead of discussing with me about what. He was trying to say the very thing that it could be said to many people now, that the people are not realizing, they are not alive to the gospel which is being preached. Now, let's take chapter 8 of John's gospel. This is an important foundation work so that we might know what we are doing when we go into deeper things. We might have a foundation. John chapter 8 and verse 19. He was speaking to the Pharisees. Yeah. He said here, "Then said they unto him, Where is thy father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me, nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also." These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. In other words, again we see a group of people who did not know Jesus. Let's take the 26th verse. "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I have heard of him." Praise God. Let's take chapter 9 and verse 30. 30. "The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." We find again that the leaders of the people were blind. It's a strange thing that the leaders are always blind. It seems that the leaders of the people are always leading the people into carnality. And carnality is a thing which blinds you. Just as Samson got his eyes plucked out, some of these leaders seem to have met some Philistines and got their eyes plucked out, because they don't seem to be able to see what we are talking about. The learned men of today won't hear our gospel. Let's go on a little further. Chapter 12 and verse 49. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." Jesus himself is saying that he didn't speak of himself. He did not talk about Jesus. He spoke about the Holy Ghost and he spoke about the Father. So Jesus' specific job was to introduce us to the Father and to the Holy Ghost. Now we take Acts chapter 13 and verse 27. Verse 27. "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they had fulfilled them in condemning him." Imagine, they were looking for God. They were waiting for God, and when he appeared, they killed him. Yeah, they just could not conceive. You know those beautiful pictures you have on your wall? If Jesus looked like any one of them, the Pharisees would have accepted him like that. But he was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. And then it went on to say that he had no form nor comeliness, that looking upon him ye should desire him. He didn't look like a king. I looked like just like an ordinary tramp. Yes, when he was walking up and down with those disciples, he was not desirable. He was not anything that anybody would look at and say, this man, he looks like the Son of God. But I figured that when the Spirit of God blazed out in him, you could see the glory, like the day when he plaited the cords and rushed down among those money changers, and those hard-hearted men threw away their money and ran. They saw something. Amen. Yeah, don't think they were going to leave their monies and run for nothing. Yes, there were some rough characters there, and they saw God blazing out of that man, and they just ran. Their spirits couldn't stand it. Praise God. Now, let's check on Romans. Let's see what Romans has for us. Romans 16 and verse 25-26. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory. Now, don't you see here again Paul speaking very plainly that the gospel was a hidden mystery? Jesus himself said, I cannot tell you these things. He said, some of these things you can't bear, but when the Holy Ghost is come, he will tell you. Every prophet said that thing. Right along, there was a hidden mystery. Now, brethren, tell me, if there was a hidden mystery, don't you see that the gospel that you had been getting had been a gospel that was held away back from even when Jesus came here? Some of the gospel that we get in our churches was already being practiced and believed. So then where is the mystery then? Don't you see there must be something else hidden in the word, like what is being revealed now? Let's go on a little further. I'm going to show you something more here. We didn't read John 16 and 7 to 23, because John 16 is going to tell us what I just said a while ago. But let's just check it. I don't think you are rushing me. Amen. As yet. A little while and ye shall see me, and again a little while and ye shall not see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples again among themselves, what is this that is said unto us? A little while ye shall see me, and a little while, and again a little while, and ye shall not see me, and because I go to my Father. They said therefore, what is that he said? A little while, and we cannot tell what he said. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Praise God. Now let's go back to Romans. Romans 15 and verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you in the to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. Amen. The point will be borne out by the next chapter we go to. Let's take we are coming down now. Let's take Ephesians 1. From the 9th verse. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. I want you to notice that God is always speaking about a mystery. There has been something hidden here. A mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The mystery of God's will is that you were in God from the beginning. When God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, you were part of God. You were in God. Now, if you give me a little time, I will explain that. God said to Abraham that Abraham paid tithes, Levi paid tithes in Abraham, because Levi was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham paid tithes. So that Levi also paid tithes. Now where were you? We hear a lot of nonsense being preached around that you were in another existence. Some of us say that you were fallen angels and you came back and God turned you into men and give you another chance. And they have a slackness going around, especially around LA and all these parts of the country where the devil's seat is, that yes, this part of the world is exactly where Satan's seat is. You better believe it. And they have a doctrine going around saying that you were reincarnation, something like that. That you were sometimes another animal or another man, and God give you another chance by putting you into another body. You know who preaching that doctrine? The demons. You know who is giving the people the feeling that they were here already? The demons. You know who was here already? The demons. Yes. Yes, that's what happened. These demons were here, they possessed people's body, and then the person gets all the information in him that he was here. He can come right into your house and get around the cupboard and say you got so and so in there and find things that you didn't know was in your house because he was here already. Yes, the demon that possesses him was here already. And that is what is really happening, and that's in a nutshell what reincarnation is. Amen. But where were we? Let me see if I can find it in the Bible for you. Turn back to John. You know, John and Paul are two disciples that you really have to study to know what they're talking about. John 17 and verse 6 answers our question. John 17 verse 6. Jesus praying to the Father, he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. This is very peculiar for Jesus to say this thing, because he is saying that these men belong to God. Yet John chapter 1 describes to us that Jesus was the person who made mankind. He said there was nothing made that he did not make. He is the maker of all things. Then if he made mankind, how could mankind be God's? But the answer is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our own image. God created man within himself. Man was part of God's mind long before the world was made. God created man before he made him, you know. You read Genesis again. In Genesis chapter 2, I won't turn to it because I'll turn to it many times in time to come. So let's just skip it over. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that there were the things, all the seeds and all the things that God created, they were created before they were made and put in the earth. So God creates a thing before he makes it. You are a draftsman and you're going to make a building. You are an engineer. You have got to create the building before you make it. You've got to put it on paper. And you've got to have every detail of that building on paper. And then you begin to construct the building. And so other men begin to see what you had in your mind. So the creation of man was done years long, I don't know how long before man was created in God, and Jesus was slain in the heavenlies before he was manifested on the earth. Amen. So man was created, and man was created in God. Then God said, Jesus, okay, you make them. And Jesus came down and made all things that were made by Jesus. Now, so we can go back to our little point. Amen. Praise God. If we are satisfied, if we're not satisfied, I can still go back with you. But if we are satisfied, we go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And here we see that this is the will of God, to bring us back to the place where we were before the world was. Amen. We were in God, and God created a perfect man within his mind. God put on his drawing board a perfect image and likeness of Almighty God. Amen. But when the man was made, God subjected the man to sin in hope. What hope? Let's turn again to Romans chapter 8. You've got to turn, brethren, because I don't want you to say I said what wasn't in the Bible, you know. Romans 8 and verse 19:20. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Man was made a creature in hope. What hope? In hope that verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. God created us in hope, pardon me, that we would arise and not only redeem ourselves from this condition, but redeem all creation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the hope. So then God made some high beings up there. Marvelous, glorious beings. He described some of them as stones of fire. And they fell because they were too high. They had nowhere else to go. They had no higher height. They had ambition, and so they fell. God makes some low ones, and he said, that's where you're going. So this is what Paul mentioned in the letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, he said that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. God's great master plan is bringing man from glory to glory, from God falling down to the brute nature, going back up through the cross to God. That's the destiny of man. From God to God, from glory to glory. Not a brute being, not an animal creature, not a thing that is dead and has no hope, but a creature that was made of God, subjected under the natural things for a purpose, that he might arise. God gave you the tools. And he said, buddy, there is the height. You can go there. Here are the tools, and the tools he gave you is the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost as your servant, Eliezer. Your Eliezer, your servant, to take you back. Though you go, or you're going on the bump of the camel. You go. Yes. It's not an easy road, but you'll make it. Amen. And I can assure you, brethren, that every angel in heaven is your servant. The Bible said it, and we'll go through that too sometime to come. But they are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation, and you are the people who can rule these angels if you are in God and in faith. Praise God. Let's finish this. This beautiful thought here. Colossians 1 and 27. Let's take it from 26. 26, 27. Hallelujah. Well, I really appreciate people with ears. Praise God. I appreciate people whom God has anointed your ears, that though you might be a little uncomfortable sitting long, you allow your ears to govern you. Praise God. Amen. My conscience isn't troubling me, you know, friend. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. I am sure everybody believes it now, that this gospel has been a hidden mystery. And to tell you the truth, I've been preaching for 25 years, and these things that have come are coming out now. It is just glory to me. I don't know where they're coming from. Amen. Look at a thing like that, the picture of Jesus. Who would have thought of that? Rick, that is. Oh my goodness, the board got tired. My goodness, I told you to look at it and it just... Well, praise God. We see here, chapter 1 and verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Watch it now. There is a people to whom God is making known the riches. Remember, we had known it before, but not the riches. Amen. Of the mystery, of the glory among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. My God. We had known that something was kind of wrong in the past, that some people had more Christ than others. And I couldn't reconcile it. I knew some people had more Christ than others. Two men received Jesus. They are saved Christians, and yet one is so sweet, and the other one is, yes, still on the coarse side. And you just couldn't understand it. It is because the man child is growing up in you, and he's growing in you, and he's growing in you, and he's growing in each person, and we are at different stages in our growth. And he has taken over the different realms. And to be frank and honest with you, every one of us has some secret realm that is harder to take over than the others. Amen. My sin might be something that, the Spirit can't get me at it. But when it comes to you, that is no bother to you. Amen. Because it depends upon the desires of the soul which we had in the past. Yes. Things which have been deeply grained. You know, the psychologist can tell you that some things make such a mark in your character, in your heart, in your mind, that it's difficult for you to overcome. And that's what God has to overcome in you. And to the other man, that's no problem to him, but he has another problem. Amen. So God had to get into the breeding program. And he started to breed to see if he could bring forth a girl that was clear enough for him to use to bring forth Jesus Christ. And he kept them, and he put them under the whip for 4,000 years. 4,000 years. One time when he saw things were going bad, he killed everybody and left 8 people. Started all over again. Just to bring forth one girl that would bring forth the Christ man in the earth. And that's the same thing he's doing again with a body of people. He's whipping you into shape because he wants you to bring forth the man child. And what we talk about the man child, we only mean in your soulish realm that Christ is going to come forth and take over your nature. The eagle nature, the lion nature, man nature, and the ox nature will all be taken over by God, and we lay them down at his feet, and they will praise him before the throne of God. They will sing praises. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now let's finish this. Did we finish this one? Yeah, as he said, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. All those who are talking about there's no perfection on earth, I think you better go and find God and ask him about it, because you're on the wrong road. There is perfection here. God is perfecting his people. And you people have better stop committing sin. For I know that no son of God commits sin anyhow. Sons of God fall into sin, but they hate it. And because they hate it, the sin becomes a blessing to them. Let's go back over that. You walking along the road in your good clean suit, and whoops, you go over. right into a mud puddle. You like it? You'll do it again? No, you hate it. You're going to get that mud off of you. Amen. Yes, and that's why Jesus said the hog returned to his wallowing in the mire. He didn't say the lamb returned to wallowing in the mire. It just wouldn't happen. But the hog, if you have the wrong spirit, no matter what they do with you outside, they could chain you, they could bathe you, they could put you into a clean place. If you find mire in you at all, you're going to wallow in it. Because the wrong spirit. So this is what God is saying to us. That if we are born again sons of God, we don't want sin. We hate it. We may fall into it. Sin may trap us. But we're getting out of it. You fall down, you're getting up. Because that you are a son of God. And that's what he meant by commit sin. Cannot commit sin. We cannot commit sin. That's it. We can't willfully go out and hunt in sin. And if you find that in you, then you just come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And get the work done in you, because it's not yet done. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 5. Amen. Praise God. Oh, now let us read from 4. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. And I can say, and yet being revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Let me tell you something. Somebody here is thinking, and you are saying in your heart, that if the Lord said that these mysteries would be revealed by the Holy Ghost, then when the brethren received the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, the mysteries were revealed. Well, you know when this was written? 70 years after Pentecost. And Paul was just bringing out some of these mysteries. I want you to know Paul wanted it badly, and he was disappointed and distressed, and he decided to die because God would not have allowed him to get what we are getting here this evening. Paul wanted, I'll show you, okay, remind me about that. I don't want to break here. Let's get through this, and then I show you this clearly in the scriptures, that Paul was disappointed that he could not get through in life, just walk like Enoch. He was expecting to walk out of this body like Enoch into eternity. Amen. Now, let's go on with this. I don't want to break this here. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see. Listen now, what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So you see the point that I brought to you, to tell you that the things were in God, they were created in God, and they were manifested by Jesus Christ. This is exactly what he says here. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that means the princes in heaven and the powers in heaven, in heavenly places, might be known by the church. That's peculiar language, eh? It sounds all right to you? The manifold wisdom of God. Look, he's saying here that the church is going to teach the principalities in heaven the mysteries of God. That's what he said there. You know why? Because God is not revealing his mysteries to angels. He is revealing his mysteries to men, because men will share the very throne of God. He has made us a little lower than the angels, but has crowned us with glory and honor. And he made us to have dominion over the works of his hand. He has put all things under our feet. Yes. And this is the situation with you, that God is now giving the church the revelation. And the church will give it to those in the heavenlies. For as the word of God breaks forth in revelation in our midst, angels are here picking it up, carrying it off. Both good and bad angels. Because Satan has got to study us to be able to fight us. Amen. And in this hour, he is on his last lap. Because men are going to put him down in a very short time. By Jesus Christ, which is rising in us. This is the power of Almighty God, and this is the plan of God which he had for all the ages. And this is the man that God saw looking down the corridors of time. God saw you. Let me tell you, John saw you before you were born. He said he saw the multitude before God, praising God. And he saw us before we were even born. Let me go on. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Somebody is feeling that, well, this man is bordering on blasphemy. I am talking about man submitting himself to God and allowing Christ to come forth in him. If you expect Christ to come from the sky, then you will be a very disappointed man, because Christ must come forth in man and show himself to the world. That's the secret coming of Jesus Christ. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto deliverance of the body. That's what he said, salvation. That's what he meant by the word salvation. Deliverance of the body. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, let's just go on a little. We are near the end, about two scriptures left to be read. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. Praise God. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And this is saying to me that as we go on, we know on. Yes. As we get deeper in God, we see deeper in God. As we get more in God, we see more. We understand more. And then, till we break forth into that perfect day. Amen. Now, praise God. It seems we have come to the end of our scripture lesson this afternoon. Praise God. Let's go for it and see what I'm saying. I'm saying that we came from God. John 17:6. I'm saying that we are going back to God from whence we came. That we are going to receive the same glory that we had before with God. In John 17, again, and around verse 15, we are going to receive the glory, Jesus said, give them the same glory that I had with you from before the foundation of the world. Amen. That we are going back to God. That we are going back through the cross principle. That we have been taken by the four beasts of Revelation, and that we are getting rid of the beast nature, and all this is going to be submitted to God, and God will be all in all, ruling through us. That Jesus Christ was not manifested in the world in the man named Jesus, but that Jesus manifested the Father, and that the Holy Ghost is manifesting Jesus. Right? Jesus manifested the Father, the Holy Ghost is manifesting Jesus and in you, and Jesus is to appear in the world through you. By man seeing the Christ in you, that's the only way man is going to know Jesus Christ, by seeing him in you. God bless you. Oh, this brother got me here. I knew that I should have got somebody to hook me. Let's just check this before we go. I mentioned something about Paul that it's in Philippians chapter 3. And I won't take a minute. Verse 10 we start at. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul was saying that he had not yet attained unto the resurrection. And remember, he spoke of the resurrection as something that would take place in our mortal bodies in Romans 8. So we know that Paul understood the word of God, that resurrection could take place in a living man. You didn't have to die physically to be resurrected. But if you are resurrected while you're alive, you never die. So Jesus said to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth shall never die. So he meant that if you were alive and you should receive that resurrection power within you, you would never die. And Paul was lamenting and said, oh, I strive that I might attain unto the resurrection. He couldn't have been saying that he wasn't saved. No, no. He was saying that he wanted the resurrection to take place in his mortal body, and he was hoping that it would happen. Praise God.
This is the end of message, M. 002. The Revelation of Christ.